Welcome to Golden Talk. Responsibility means to me being able to be trustworthy by a teacher.
So if you do something, you need to be responsible for it. You need to stand up and say, I did that. And you also need to be responsible with your belongings and not lose them, take good care of them.
A responsibility to me, it means that, say you're a leader for your team. If like your team isn't doing so well, then you don't have to blame it on other people. You can take the responsibility and try and like make sure that they're trying to work harder for their goals.
If you make something wrong, it's your job to make it right. The only person that can fix it the best is you.
Taking action in problems and helping out others.
When you're responsible for your actions, you don't blame it on other people. You don't try and get someone else in trouble for what you did.
Hello and welcome to another edition of our Golden Talk series, where we talk everything golden thread. And today I am joined by Philip and Dan, who in a minute will introduce themselves, but welcome to you both. And today we're going to be talking about responsibility. So before we get started, if you could just briefly introduce yourself with your name, your role, how long you've been within Golden Thread.
My name's Dan Range. I'm an assistant professor at Coventry University and I'm the chair of the local governing committee at Temple Hill School. I've been with Golden Thread for 6 years now.
Amazing. Seems a long time, Dan, that you've been around the school.
It has been a long time, but it's been a really good time.
And children in the school?
My daughter just finished Temple Hill last year, so she's now gone to secondary school, but my niece and nephew are both still in Temple Hill in year 2 and 5.
But your daughter's left and you're still around the school.
I am. I didn't want to be someone who came in just because my daughter was there. That was obviously why I started. That's how I got introduced to the school. We had Ofsted last year. We knew it was coming in this year, so I didn't want to leave ahead of my daughter leaving. And then we had a really good Ofsted, but with some bits to build on for the future. So we had some discussions about where we can go and what the ambition is. I decided I wanted to be on board for that for the foreseeable.
Amazing. Thank you so much for everything you do, Dan. Philip.
I'm Philip van der Goot. I am not an assistant professor anywhere. I wish I had been. But I am the chair of trustees at the Golden Thread Alliance. And I am I've probably been here for 5 years. I see this as a job, but of course we're voluntary, and I adore being part of this alliance, working with the trustees and senior leadership team largely and the central team to ensure best practice for the benefit of children, for the benefit of staff, and for the benefit of the trust as a whole.
And it's an absolute pleasure working with you, Philip, and I learn so much from you every day. And I'm not just saying that because it's coming up to my performance review shortly, but because actually, you know, you do add so much, because your background isn't education, is it?
No. I've been involved in business. I'm a retired guy now, and I've been in business most of my life. And I think that I wanted to give back to society once I returned to the UK. I've worked abroad for many years in many different guises. And what I think I bring to the party is a different element. It's not looking at education. It's looking at best practices, systems, processes. It's looking at empathy with people from a business perspective, how we can be leaders and help our people give of their best every day, help our teachers, help our senior leadership team, and help the children give of their best every day towards a common goal. And those common goals have been exemplified by you and the team in the values that we believe in.
Well, let's move on then to values, because I think we are a values-led trust, and I think that makes us quite unique. But what do you think makes us special?
In terms of being values-led?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think, looking at other trusts and other schools, there's less of a focus on values. And I think if you look across, you know, the trust is very diverse in terms of who is in the schools and even what the schools are themselves. You know, there's a lot of diversity within the schools. I think having a clear set of values really helps to build that strong identity. It puts people on the same page. It means when staff go between schools, they have an expectation of what they'll find there. And it means that people are sort of held accountable to how they behave and how they expect others to behave.
And those values are taken into further life outside of the school environment, because they're such important words like kindness and ambition and responsibility and respect and equality. I mean, those things, if we live by those values in this environment, the children and staff will be able to take them outside of this environment for lifelong skills and lifelong benefit for themselves and others around. Genuinely believe that. And I see it every day when I come into this environment, how the staff react with each other, how they react with their bosses, how they react with their underlings and treating them as equals. It's very impressive.
And I think, Dan, you spend most of your time within your role at Temple Hill, but Philip, you have been privileged to visit many of our schools within the Trust. And one thing I think is really special about our values-led approach is that you can go into different schools and they will be very unique environments and have a very distinctive characteristic, I think. So if you think about West Hill versus Temple Hill versus Riverview versus Culverstone, they're all very different places, but you can still feel the same values?
Yes, you can, 100%. I do go to all of the schools and for different reasons, and you can see that there is the thread that goes through every school that I go to, which is similar, and yet they are different. They're different people, different children, different groups, and different environments. But there is the thread of those values which permeates everything. The way the children walk in the corridor, the way they greet you, the way they talk to their teachers or are talked to by their teachers, it's with respect and it's with fairness and kindness, and those values are evident.
And I'm smiling because when we were coming up with the name for our multi-academy trust, there were lots of discussions, weren't there? And I'd say some of those discussions were quite passionate, quite argumentative on occasions. But Golden Thread really is about the values.
Yeah.
And I agree with Philip. I spend less time in other schools away from Temple Hill. But when I do go to the other schools, you can see they are lived values. So, yeah, I mean, on the name, they are really a golden thread that does run through.
Yeah, I agree.
And I wasn't in favour of that name. And I was trying to argue against it, and I'm glad I lost.
Well, you know, some of the other options had already been used, and I don't think would have fitted quite as well in what I'm really proud to be, a values-led trust. And we'll talk about what that means a little bit more in a while. But in terms of the value of responsibility, which is what we're talking about today, what does that mean to you personally within your Golden Thread role, Philip?
So I think a number of aspects, but the one is one's job title. So that's given to you by others. And you have to be a role model. You have to live the value of responsibility in this case, but all the values every day that you're involved in the people that you're around. But responsibility is not what is just that which is given to you, but it's what you take. It's what you seek to find yourself. And so you can give of your best without want of any return. You can give ideas without wanting praise or financial reward or any other return on investment of your time. And you, because you're taking responsibility for an action and the outcomes of that action, because you're then trusted as a result. And for us as adults, for parents and teachers, that's clear. And for children, it's not that obvious. So I want to see and do see that responsibility might be given to children, monitors, prefects, running a team, captain, whatever, but also responsibility, if we do it correctly, can be taken by the children, helping others, helping friends who are struggling, doing something out of the ordinary for your teacher or for your parents at home. And that engenders trust, and that's your own personal responsibility.
I think you raised a really important point, Philip, in terms of the responsibility that we try to convey is a really lived value. And it's not a lesson that we teach once a term on the value of responsibility, but it is absolutely lived every day through our behaviours. And I wonder if you could just, without going into the details and without going into the outcome, could you just talk very briefly about the responsibility that you have as a chair of a board when Ofsted visit? Because you know, it is a real responsibility, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's not one I find onerous or stressful at all because, frankly, in the roles that I've had in the past, I've had similar set of responsibilities. The difference is that the product that we have is not something that you sell or a service that you offer. It's pupils, it's children. And so the sense of responsibility, the feeling of obligation, responsibility is enormous because you want to get it right. And you want to get it right for that school during an Ofsted inspection because you know what goes on in that school. You know how everyone strives at all the different elements, whether it's education, whether it's safeguarding, whether it's communication, whether it's in the community, how everyone strives to make it as best as it can be. And you want to get that across to your Ofsted inspectors. So, yes, you become a role model and you turn up looking the part, behaving as perhaps a chairperson might be perceived to be. And then you have to answer difficult questions from the inspectors about how your values that you believe in trust-wide are implemented in that particular environment, in that school. And then you're asked questions like, what evidence do you have as to how those values are permeated? And it's a tough call because we don't know the schools intimately necessarily, but you have to be prepared for that. And preparation's the key.
What's it like getting that call, Dan?
So we had Ofsted October last year, which was the first time I had it. I joined the chair of the governing body just after the last Ofsted. So for me, it was entirely new. But I think in terms of linking it back to responsibility, Philip said earlier, it's like you need to treat it like a job, you know, and that's kind of what I do with it because I do feel very responsible for my role at the school, for the rest of the governing body as I'm the chair, and how we're perceived in the school and wider. So I did feel a big weight on that because, you know, we see the work that goes on in the school. The staff, teaching and non-teaching staff, do an incredible amount there. Volunteers do a huge amount there. And I felt that the meeting we had with Ofsted could really reflect on the outcomes. So I really felt we had to give our best on it to show that we do know the school, we do know the values, and we do know where the school is achieving and can do better.
I think responsibility should be really spelt out for anyone listening to this, just to remind everybody that you are both volunteers in this organisation, that when Ofsted call, you are given less than 48 hours notice to turn up to the school to present yourself to a lead inspector who will have unseen questions for you. And that responsibility is huge. And it reminds me of speaking with either inexperienced or particularly younger teachers, those that haven't been through the process before, where they get really, really worried about the one lesson observation that they are going to be taking part in, or the one conversation about their subject that they're going to be quizzed about. And I always try and talk to them about the fact that this is about collective responsibility, right? So for us, collective responsibility means that not one person is responsible for the success of an organisation. And not one person is responsible for its downfall either. You know, we are a collective.
And so if I may add in Ofsted, therefore, our 30-minute interviews separately from Dan and myself that we would have had to have had at every Ofsted are important, but they're not the whole. The collective is the whole. And every aspect is building a picture for the Ofsted inspectors to get the results that we get. So I don't feel obligated, I feel responsible. But it's no different, an Ofsted inspection to me is no different from preparing for a board meeting, to be honest. I do the same level of thought process. I don't have to think on my feet as quickly during a board meeting or any other meetings that I have. But the preparation and the giving of your best because you treat it like a job without pay, because you want to do it, is at the heart of what we do. And I think responsibility is about giving as well as getting some return. And the return I get, I don't need, but it's thanks and some praise, but it's not important to me personally. And I think if we can get that across to everybody, that responsibility is something you give and not necessarily receive anything back.
But I think you two are both amazing role models within our organisation for the value of responsibility, because you've turned up today to talk to me. You turn up every board meeting. You turn up to every committee meeting. You're never late. You're never begrudging of your time. And on behalf of everybody, I just want to say thank you for that. Can you think of a time when a member of your team has shown the value of responsibility?
Yeah, I think so. One of my other roles within the trust is I'm the safeguarding governor for Temple Hill. So we, unlike a lot of other schools and trusts, we make sure everyone in the school is trained around safeguarding. And if a child discloses something, then the person who is disclosed to takes responsibility for ensuring that it's logged on the appropriate systems and is recorded accurately. And I've been in training sessions and around training sessions where people who, unless you know the school environment, might not expect, people you wouldn't expect to be involved in safeguarding disclosures and logging safeguarding incidents have done so. So we're talking like lunchtime supervisors. We're talking about sort of caretaking staff. We're talking about people who you may not expect to be doing that. But if a child tells them something, they take the responsibility for ensuring that is put on the system. And then once it's on the system, it goes to a designated safeguarding lead who takes it on. So we're not saying someone runs with a case all the way through, but the child discloses to them. They're trained to listen to that disclosure and to record it, and they take responsibility for doing so.
And doesn't that go right back to the point I made around collective responsibility, that we each play our part? And to that child that's in distress or suffering some sort of issue at that point and they need to speak to an adult, they don't see hierarchy. They just see the person that they are going to be most comfortable with in talking to. And that's a massive responsibility when you're paid minimum wage, perhaps, as a lunchtime supervisor.
It is. Being that trusted adult for that child is a huge responsibility. But also, I mean, it's, again, you said about the two-way bit, you know, the amount of pride that some people take in doing that, you know, for them, they're not just someone there who's serving food or clearing up. They are a trusted adult who's important to young people. And they see that the organisation they work for also trusts them to take responsibility. So they grow in that. I think that's a really important bit. You know, when we talk about it being a two-way bit, it's not about bogging you down jobs and tasks that are above what you do. It's about giving you scope to take more stuff on and take pride in what you do.
Do you know, I think our cooks across our 9 schools, as well as our lunchtime supervisors, are some of the most important people within our organisation. I think if a child gets a really good lunch, then they're going to be set up for the afternoon. And some of our children at Temple Hill, that may be their main meal of the day. And those lunchtime supervisors, you know, you imagine all of those children running around and expelling all of that energy. It's a big responsibility to take on, and we thank them for it. What about you, Philip?
So mine is about a trustee who took over the role that was asked, that became vacant. So in one of our schools, the chair of governor's role became vacant, and this particular trustee volunteered to take over on a temporary basis, which ended up being over a year, took up the role of chair of governors. Now, what this trustee did went way beyond any expectation, which was he helped to integrate a new IT system, which provided accurate data for how the children were achieving or not achieving, or which groups needed more support, or which groups were doing very well. And he therefore was able to put all this data together, teach the other governors how to understand that data, so that they could ask questions of the head teacher and the senior leadership team about what's happening to this group of children or that group of children in a different year group, so that we are holding the head teachers and the senior leadership team to account. And that's the job of the governors, to make sure that everyone's doing the right job. This same trustee then went on to teach other groups of governors across all other schools on how to use the information from the IT systems, and selflessly did all this without anyone asking him to do so, took it upon his own shoulders to do it. And we've only said thank you. It's an incredible piece of selflessness and of responsibility that he took.
And that trustee, and I know exactly who you're talking about, isn't being named because he's pretty modest. He's very humble. He doesn't look for praise. And he gives absolute hours of his own time.
I just want to say, yeah, I know who you're talking about as well, and I won't name him, but we talked about role modelling and being a role model. That person is an absolute role model for doing this sort of unpaid voluntary role.
And when we went to a recent Ofsted inspection, he was there. And if you'd seen the relationship he had with the teachers who he'd been working closely with as a governor, with the head teacher that was there, with all of the senior leadership team, he was so respected because of the selflessness of the world he inhabited, which he took responsibility for himself. He didn't have to do all those things. He took responsibility. And I think that's the two things I want to emphasise. We're given a job title, whatever that might be, and we do the job required, or we take responsibility beyond the job title, whether it's captain of a football team, whether it's a friend to a friend. You take responsibility for giving what you can to improve other people's lives. And that's what he did.
Absolutely. And he, along with yourself, is an amazing role model for me within my role. I just want to ask you your opinion about something, because we talked about being a values-led organisation, and I think we are. I genuinely think we place values at the heart of everything we do. But some may say that isn't the job of a school to be so values-led, and actually our job as a primary school is simply to teach children to read, write, use, number. I think we've got it right, and I think those critics have got it wrong. What do you think about that?
I think we've got it right, you know. To say it's not our job to teach children about equality, responsibility, kindness, and so on, and just to teach English, maths, and other subjects, I don't think that's correct. What is the purpose of education? It's to prepare children for life in the real world and to be able to be the best they can be and their best possible selves and useful contributors to the world around them. You can't do that without having values. You can be as good at maths and English as you like, but if you can't show kindness to others, if you can't take responsibility for your own actions, you're not a well-rounded whole person.
And in addition to that, we might teach it in various guises through our curriculum, through different subjects, but most importantly, everybody in the trust lives those values. I'm talking about the adults, whether it's dinner ladies or teachers or senior leadership or trustees. Everyone lives those values. And as role models to all of the children who see those values of kindness, integrity, of ambition, of responsibility and equality, see those values being lived on a daily basis, that's informing and forming the children to give them those values and understand the benefit of those values in the wider context of life. That's giving them the foundation to be good citizens and have a better life for themselves, actually, because they'll just feel much more fulfilled internally if they live those values for the rest of their lives.
As well, I wanted to go back to it being binary, either you focus on the education outcomes or the values outcomes. If there was someone who wasn't convinced and was just focused on the education outcomes, I don't think you can teach effectively in an environment where kids are pulling in different directions and there aren't common expected standards of behaviours and values. I think, you know, this is the foundation on which you can teach.
And I think you're right. And we don't insist on a standardised curriculum across our trust. So what children are learning at Temple Hill will be slightly different in some ways and nuanced to what they're being taught at Oakfield, for example. But those values are consistent. And I think that is what makes us special and unique. But what more do we need to do now? What's our next step? Because we haven't finished. We haven't got it all right. What's our next step in terms of responsibility within our organisation?
Well, I think, and I don't go to the classrooms often, and I'm not sure how responsibility is taught or given or taken by the children. But for me, it's about helping children to understand the value of responsibility and how to take responsibility. So that when they go home, when the kids go home and they see the table needs clearing, they don't just sit and watch telly or play a game. They get up and they maybe help clear the table, or they maybe move the shoes, which are at the bottom of the stairs, without being asked to do so. But they're taking a little responsibility to help mum and dad and to encourage in the classroom that kind of taking of responsibility. Or if someone's struggling, a friend is struggling to do something in the classroom, a project that you're working on, encourage the children to give a little bit of time to help that other person, their friend or person at the table to draw something correctly or differently or to use a different colour or whatever. It doesn't matter how small, but they're taking their own responsibility. And I think that would apply to all the values. If we can just make sure or find a platform where all the teachers are able just to delegate the value somehow or the other.
And I think we would get feedback from our parents and carers, particularly if children were going home and clearing the table and moving the shoes, that actually we were doing something right in terms of our teaching of our values and our lived values. We are done with our questions, but I think I'd just like to finish with that thought of something I've repeated in other editions of Golden Talk, which is around this idea of something you were talking about, Dan, about this not being a binary decision about academic or values. But equally, within all of our schools, I would absolutely prefer a mathematician that develops over the years, but is satisfactory or good enough at their skills if they are an amazing human, versus somebody who is the genius mathematician without necessarily the humanity that goes with it. And I think that's what we're trying to do in terms of the balance of those values with our core role of teaching reading, writing and maths.
I think those values have to be there. And on the other hand, if a child is excelling in something, that we've provided those opportunities for them to fly as well as having the values at the base.